And we at the Bryant Park could execute a key change of our own by going from human speech to just a pure drilling format, which you may be hearing in the background.
Oh, I thought that was me. I thought I was just hungry. But in fact, there is intense drilling.
Yes.
Our entire studio is shaking.
NPR decided to debut there, all drilling all the time. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the drill format.
The drill? That's a great name for the show.
Welcome to The Drill, where we drill down on drilling. But first, tomorrow night in Detroit, the Stanley Cup Finals begin with the Red Wings taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Detroit is known as Hockey Town USA, but in Canada, every town is Hockey Town. And luckily for us here at the BPP, my cohort today, Robert Smith, is a Canadian-born person. Take it away, Robert.
You know, as a Canadian, I have to deal with these stereotypes all the time. People expect me to be funny, they expect me to be articulate and good-looking, and they expect me to know all about hockey. Well, let me tell you, some of us in Canada were brought up a different way. I'm a fan of curling, and I'm sorry if you have a problem with that. I do not follow hockey.
I think your concept of what we think of Canadians, articulate and good-looking, I don't know if that's true.
Well, that's what they told us in Canada.
Now, listen, Robert. You're going to be faced with people expecting you to be good looking. But luckily, okay, so Robert's not going to do the hockey interview. Luckily, we have a guy on the line. The editor of Yahoo Sports blog, Puck Daddy, is here. Greg Wyshynski. Hey, Greg.
I can tell you that I've been in enough NHL locker rooms to refute the stereotype of articulate and good looking.
Yeah, and full of teeth also.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a great time to be a hockey fan, boys.
Isn't it? And to, you know, somewhat quote Badger Bob there, who is a legendary Pittsburgh Penguin and had some experience with the Red Wings, but I get too far in depth. Let's back off a little. The Red Wings, what a great and storied team with those just red and white jerseys. The Penguins offer youth, offensive firepower, and jerseys with the meanest-looking penguin I've ever seen. Who is favored in this matchup?
I think going into it, the Red Wings are favored a little bit because of what you said. I mean, they're storied, but they're also a more veteran team. They've got some really grizzled guys. They're sort of fun in the way that they've got an entirely new generation of these fast-skating Swedish and sometimes, you know, other European country players that can put the puck in the net. But they also have guys that have been around in this league since the 1980s. And, you know, there's a guy by the name of Chris Chelios who skates for them, who's 46 years old. And If they didn't play games in the afternoon, we'd all think he's a vampire. He is quite a story. And they also have some other guys named Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, who actually harkened back to when the Red Wings were winning cups back in the 1990s. So they sort of bridge the gap between these two generations of Detroit teams. And they're just a really rough, tough hockey team. And I think that's why people give them a slight advantage going into this final.
Or will youth be served? Because the Penguins are really young and they're best player is Sidney Crosby, who's what, all of 20? It's such a young and exciting team. Is the feeling that they're too young and they'll be overwhelmed being on the big stage?
Well, there's two schools of thought here. I mean, some people believe that they're too young and some people just believe they're ahead of schedule. I think most hockey pundits and fans believe this team is going to win a Stanley Cup eventually because they're that good. So maybe it's just their time has come, you know, faster than we thought it would. The thought of Sidney Crosby as the captain of the Penguins raising the Stanley Cup above his head before he could legally buy a drink in the city of Pittsburgh is baffling.
Although I think everyone in Pittsburgh is lined up to buy him a drink, so that's no problem.
I don't think he's got any problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and also, I think there's a country called Canada that is kind of fond of the kid, too. But they're a young team. They do have some veteran role players on their team. They've got their own old timer. They got a guy by the name of Gary Roberts who's pushing 43, and you know him and Chris Chelios actually played for the Stanley Cup back in 1989.
I know it's funny. I check into the hockey, you know, in the playoffs just because it's a 4,042 regular season schedule, and I'm like, oh, Gary Roberts. There was a guy by that name playing back in the 80s. No, it's that guy of that name. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Any player who actually debuted in the NHL before the first NHL video game came out, I think, has got some veteran status.
Yeah, and they got into hockey for weird reasons compared to all these kids who just got it into it as a video game and then said, oh, you mean it's a real thing? So you have written something interesting. Everybody is a diehard hockey fan. They just don't know it. Explain that.
I think that hockey speaks to some basic primal emotions in the human condition, and I've always felt this. I always felt that the National Hockey League never really knew how to market its product correctly to especially American fans. I mean, this is a sport about warriors. It's a sport about winners and losers, and especially since they got rid of the ties in the regular season. This is a on the playing surface when they leave. I mean, it's sort of the grand mythologic, Joseph Campbell heroes and villains thing. And, I don't know any hockey fan who started watching hockey to see guys, you know, fleet of foot skating with the puck and doing razzle-dazzle goals. I know guys that started watching hockey for the blue-collar aesthetic, you know, guys in the third and fourth lines who fought their way up from the minor leagues, who throw big hits during the game. Those are the people that fans really relate to, and it's sort of a push-pull because you do want to market the artistry, but I think that the league sometimes shies away from marketing the brutality and the valor of these other players because it's sort of a dicey proposition when it comes to advertisers and that sort of thing.
One thing very quickly, since the finals are going to be taking place mostly in Detroit, explain the phenomenon of the octopus.
Well, it's a grand tradition of the eight legs of the octopus used to signify the eight wins that it used to take to win the Stanley Cup. That tradition is long gone, but the octopus remains. It's a fantastic tradition, and interestingly enough,
fans throw an octopus onto the ice.
I should say, fans actually will bring a raw octopus to the arena. They will throw it on the ice either before the game or in celebration of a goal. They're disgusting. They're stinky. And interestingly enough, there was actually a general manager of the Nashville Predators who played Detroit in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs this year who complained to the league, and the league actually banned the practice of raw octopus twirling by Red Wings employees on the ice because of the goo and slime it produced upon twirling.
Well, watch for that as we watch the Pens take on the Red Wings. Greg Wyshynski, editor of Yahoo Sports blog Puck Daddy. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Hey, no problem. Penguins in seven.
All right, good prediction. Coming up on the BPP, a wondrous journey into the lands of imagination, the Twilight Zone, in graphic novel form. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.